Turn to the book of Acts chapter 16. This morning, I want to share, amen, on the family. We're going to go into a little, just a kind of little series here on the family. But we're kind of going to the family, but we know that next Sunday is Father's Day. Yes. Amen. Come on, somebody. Come on, get excited for Father's Day. Yes. Come on now. Amen. They're not that bad. Amen. We're not that bad. Amen. Praise the Lord, amen. But next Sunday is Father's Day, amen. And we want you to bring Dad, amen. We want you to bring Dad, amen. We're going to give him a special gift, amen. And we have Pastor Ken going to bring a powerful word. And so bring Dad, they're going to get a special gift. They're going to be blessed, amen. Bring your Dad, amen. If you're a father, you come, amen. It doesn't matter, amen. You know, you come and just be blessed, amen. What a better place to be than in the Father's house. Come on, somebody, on Father's Day. Amen. Even maybe you say, well, I didn't have a father that I grew up with. You know what? You have a heavenly Father. The Bible says he's a father to the fatherless. Amen. So come spend time with your heavenly Father. Amen. And don't be by yourself. We're going to have a special service for all the dads. Amen. But today, amen, I want to share, amen, a message that God gave me entitled Strong Marriages, Strong Families, Strong Church. Amen. Strong marriages, strong families, strong church. Amen. In that order.
Hello.
How many know you can't have a strong family if your marriage ain't strong?
Hello.
You can't have a strong church if we don't have strong families.
Amen.
It's not strong churches produce strong families. No. Strong family, strong married couples makes a strong church.
Amen.
This is why we believe with all our hearts in our married couples. Amen.
Amen.
This is why we have married couples Bible study. We offer counseling. Amen. We're here for our marriages. Amen.
Right.
And you may be here and say, well, I'm not married. I'm single. It's all right. Put this in your shepherd's bag.
Hello.
So that when God brings you that, your mog, your man of God, M-O-G, mog. So God brings you your wog. The Word of God, W-O-G, amen. Just make sure that they're a man of God and a woman of God. Not a mod, man of the devil.
Oh.
Or wad, amen. Woman of God, amen. Right, amen. So put this in your shepherd's bag, amen. Because, you know, I remember being single and listening to messages like this from my pastor on a Sunday morning. And I would fill up my shepherd's bag. Come on, somebody. Because I knew one day when God did bring me my woman of God.
Amen.
Sitting on the front row right there, my number one fan. Woo! Amen. 12 years today. Amen. I knew that I could put everything that I've been learning. It was time to pull it out of my shepherd's bag. And begin to apply it and begin to use it. Amen. So gang, listen up.
Hello.
Amen. Gang, the youth, listen up. Singles, listen up. Married couples, put those antenna on super high. Amen. And I'm not going to be too long. I just want to share a few moments with you. Because afterwards, we're going to take a church picture.
Come on.
We want all of us to get together and take a church picture. So please don't run. Listen. Oh, that slipped out. Amen. Sorry. Amen. Please don't run. Amen. Sit down. Amen. Because Victory San Jose, our mother sending church, is going to have their 40-year church anniversary, and they want a picture of their fruit. Amen. We're their fruit. Amen. We come from Pastor Ed, our spiritual grandfather. Amen. Pastor Ed launched out Pastor Jesse in Dallas. Amen. And Pastor Jesse launched me and my wife out, which is us here. And so they want a picture from all our group, from all our church. Amen. So we're going to gather all the children right outside in front of the banner. So take a picture with us. So I'm not going to be too long this morning, but this is something that the Lord put on my heart to share with our church. Amen. So if you have your Bibles, go to Acts chapter 16, verse 31. Thank you, worship team. Actually, we're going to start at verse 25. Acts chapter 16, verse 25. I'll be reading out of the NIV translation here this morning. I didn't get a chance to send the verses to the media team, so they probably won't be on the screen. But you can just follow along. How many know we believe in toting our Bibles here?
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
So open up your app, amen. Open up your Bible, whatever you have, amen, and follow along. Acts chapter 16, verse 25. The Word of God reads, about midnight, How many know God works late in the midnight hour? He don't ever stop working. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, somebody say suddenly. There was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open. Somebody say, my mind. And everyone's chains came off. Now, I got a question. Why did that happen when I was in prison? I'll ask Peter when I get to heaven. Verse 27. The jailer woke up. The man in charge. The drusha. Amen. Sarge. The warden. The jailer woke up. And when he saw the prison doors open, he said, uh-oh. The Bible says, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself.
Wow. Come on, Pastor.
Because he thought the prisoners had escaped. Some people say, why would he kill himself? Because back then, if it was your fault that the prisoners escaped, they would kill you.
Wow.
So he said, I'll just save them the trouble and they're going to kill me anyway, so let me just do it myself. Verse 28. But Paul shouted. But Paul shouted. But Paul shouted. Can the church shout this morning? Your shout can save somebody's life. Don't harm yourself. We are all here. Say what? I don't know what prison they were in. They sure weren't in Cofield. Or the walls, hello somebody. Or Huntsville. The B-01, B-02, come on somebody. Verse 29. The jailer called for lights, rushed in and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them and asked, sirs, what must I do to be saved? He got saved in prison. Don't tell me jailhouse religion don't work. I'm a product of it. That's another Bible study. Amen. Talk about the family. I'll connect it here in a minute. Amen. He then brought them out and asked, sir, what must I do to be saved? They replied, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. You and your household. Oh, that's a promise for somebody. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his household were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole family. Strong marriages, strong families, strong church. Let's pray. Father, bless the reading of your word. Anoint it to our hearts. God, I pray this morning that you would anoint me like never before. Help me to articulate your word. Help me to convey this message that you put in my heart. Father, let me be a funnel of your grace. Remove me, God, to the side. Use me for your honor and glory. Open up every heart to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to the church this morning. We love you and we will forever give you all the praise and you all the glory. Speak to us, God, for your servants listen. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray and we all say,
amen.
You may be seated. Verse 31 is a promise.
Amen.
Is a promise for your household.
Amen.
Those living under your roof.
Come on.
It's a promise for your family.
Yes. Come on, yes.
It's a promise for your family to be saved.
Amen.
Listen, I'm going to tell you here this morning, the promises of God are powerful.
That's right. Yeah.
The promises of God are real.
That's
right. Yeah. Me and my wife, we celebrate 12 years of marriage today.
Yeah.
I've been saved now for 19 years. For 19 years, I have been a Christian. It's like half my life. I was 20 years old when I gave my life, when Jesus rescued me. Before that, I was a gang member, a drug dealer, a drug addict, in and out of jail, always getting caught up with the police, always looking behind my back. I was messed up. I was lost. I was bound. I never would have thought I would be where I'm at today. But why did that happen? Because I learned early on to stand on the promises of God.
That's right. That's right.
There's a lot of promises of God in this book. This is why you got to read it. This is why you got to look into the Word of God. Because if you don't, you're missing out on a lot of promises. You're missing out on a lot of blessings, my friend. Not just for you, but for your wife, for your marriage, for your children, and for your children's children. This is a book of promises. And this promise here in verse 31, that if you believe in the Lord Jesus, you, but not just you, your whole household. I say your whole household. Does anybody need their whole household? Oh, come on. Does anybody need their whole household? Oh, does anybody here got a teenager in their house that's acting up? Hello, somebody. Don't want to come to church. Don't want to serve God. Wants to run the streets. Wants to hook up with everybody. Oh, you ain't hearing me this morning. I said, God has given us a promise for that teenager. God has given us a promise for your 5-year-old, for your 2-year-old. You ain't got to worry if your 2-year-old is going to grow up and go through the same trauma that you went through. Our kids don't got to go through the same trauma the devil drug us through, my friend. But our kids can serve Jesus for life. Our children can serve God for life. If we learn as a church to stand on the promises of God, if we learn as a married couple, as a husband and as a wife, to stand on the promises of God and say like Joshua, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We ain't gonna serve Pharaoh. We ain't gonna serve the dope dealer. We ain't gonna, no, we're gonna serve God. We gotta stand on this promise. So we gotta stand on, this is a good promise. I said, this is a good promise right here. Some parents want, they want their kids to this and that and college, and that's all good and money, but all, but the best promise, the best thing that you can have and pray over your children is the promise of salvation. It's God. It doesn't matter if they go to college or get all this money or get this education. What matters is if they go to heaven. What matters is if they have a relationship with you. Because listen, if they take care of your business, you'll take care of their business. So this morning, I just want to highlight a few things from this text, and I'll be done. The first off I want to highlight is that this man was an ordinary man with a somewhat ordinary life. I mean, just look at his life. He was a jailer. In other words, he had a job, a regular job. I mean, you know, not too regular, right? But this was an ordinary guy who worked to support his household or his family. But yet, check it out. God went through all this trouble of jailing the disciples just to save him and his family. He was an ordinary guy. I'm just an ordinary guy. Come on, somebody. Job Tom. Just an ordinary guy. Just an ordinary individual. Oh, but God moved heaven and earth just to get to him, just to get to his family. And you may be sitting here and say, Pastor, I'm just an ordinary guy. Oh, but I'm going to tell you something. You're not ordinary to God. To God, you're extraordinary. And you may just be an ordinary guy, an ordinary gal. Oh, but let me tell you something. God will do the extraordinary to reach the ordinary. Oh, you ain't hearing me. God will do the extraordinary to reach the ordinary. Oh, come on, somebody. I was just an ordinary gang member from Oakland. Come on, somebody. I know you say, man, Pastor, you got a testimony. I don't got a testimony like you. Listen, in Victory Outreach, testimonies like mine are a dime a dozen. Oh, come on, somebody. A dime a dozen. So what? We have room of full of... Who was in gangs? Everybody will raise their hand. A lot of people raise their hand. We're dime a dozen in Victory Outreach. Amen. This is a church of miracles. The church of miracles. We were just ordinary drug addicts. Oh, come on now. An ordinary dope dealer. But God moved heaven and earth. You know what God did for me? He moved the Dallas Police Department to work with the Irving Police Department. Come on, somebody. Huh? I remember when they came, when God first started working in my life, he used the cops to, you know, to come and kick down my door. I was just a little nickel and dime, and I sold a 20 there, a 50 here, a 16 here, an 8 ball there. I just act like I move keys, amen. I just walk like I was Scarface. But I was really like this doughboy, amen. I was just, come on, somebody, amen. But you know what? I kid you not. They raided my house and they acted like I was Scarface. I mean, they came in their army suit and their cars, their army vehicles, and blew up my windows. And ask my dad. Amen. He's a witness. Amen. It's his house. Amen. Sorry. Still got to pay back. I mean, they tore the whole house down. Looking for keys. They found a little dust, amen. I was just an ordinary. I said I was just an ordinary. I wasn't a Scarface, man. I wasn't Pablo Escobar, amen. I wasn't a Chapo, amen. I was in Wapo, yeah, amen. I was just an ordinary guy. But God did the extraordinary. I said, God did the extraordinary. This is why the scripture says, don't count it strange. Don't count it strange, the things that you go through, the various trials that you go through, some of the stuff that you're going through. Hey, listen to me, I know it's not easy, but it could just be a Holy Ghost setup. It could be a setup for what God has for you and what God has for your family. Sometimes God has to move heaven and earth, to get to you and your family. This guy was ordinary, but he experienced the extraordinary. The prison doors opened, but no one escaped. Oh, don't tell me that ain't... Don't tell me that ain't a miracle. This guy knew this was extraordinary. That's why he came and fell at the apostles' feet. He knew it. This is why when he seen that happen, he fell before the apostles, because he knew that he should be a dead man. He should have been a dead man. His kids should have grown up without a father.
My, man.
I'm preaching now.
Come on.
I said, I'm preaching now. Some of us, our kids should have grown up fatherless, motherless. That bullet had our name on it. We did not overdose. Oh, we made it to the hospital. God kept us alive only by his grace and only by his mercy. Oh, we should have overdosed. The amount that you took, the amount that you spoke. Oh, we should have been dead a long time ago. Our kids should have grown up without a father and without a mother. Oh, but by the grace of God, he kept you alive. And not only did he keep you alive, but he saved you. He saved you. And now, I said now, he's aiming at your children. He's aiming at your children.
Because your whole household, I said your whole household, they're under the covering. They're under the anointing. They're in your realm of influence. I said they're in your realm of influence. You get up and you pray over that house. You speak the word of God over that house. And your whole house will be saved. When they step into my house, I said when they step into my house, they ain't got no choice but the Holy Ghost to rub off on them. I said they ain't got no choice but to hear the word. I said they ain't got no choice but to go to church. What you mean you ain't going to church? Oh, you gotta mind somebody. You don't pay no bills. You eat up all the food. You wanna come in and out. Oh, you going to church? Oh, can I help somebody this morning? Can I help somebody this morning? I'm speaking to a guy, I'm speaking to a mom, I'm speaking to some families in this place. God has given us the keys. Yeah, you may be ordinary. Oh, but God's going to use you to do the extraordinary. I'm a living proof. I'm a testament. I got a good marriage. I'm happy with my wife. My children are saved. They're serving God. They love Jesus. My daughter's on the way to UTC Panama. My other daughter just came back. Frankie loves to play the drums. Timmy wants to be a rapper for Jesus. My family will be saved. If God don't do nothing else. I said, if God don't do nothing else, I'm all right. I said, I'm all right. If I don't grow the mega church, Frankie and Timmy will. If I don't go to the nations and preach the gospel, Celeste and Alexis will. Oh, you ain't hearing me. I said, we serve a God. Secondly, let me finish. First, this guy was an ordinary guy. Secondly, what I want to highlight is that this jailer brought his family to hear the word.
He got saved.
He got saved. He heard the miracles of God. He got touched. I said, oh, this is too good for me to keep to myself. I said, this is good to keep to myself. He said, Paul, Silas, you must come with me. But we're in prison. Don't worry about it. I'm the jailer. You need to come with me. Because I got a whole household. I said, I got a whole family. I'm a man of influence. But I've been using my influence for the devil. I've been using my influence to lead my family astray, but I might experience the truth today. This day, salvation has come to my house, and I can't hold this by myself. I need you to come to my house. Oh, because what I've been inside, after you lay hands on me, after you prayed for me, after I had church with you, after this miracle, it's too good for me to keep to myself. House. Let me ask you something. Have you invited Jesus to your house? Have you invited the word into your house? This jailer said, I need the word to come to my house. I need these spiritual leaders to come to my house. And he brought them to his house. And he sat his house down. Siéntate. Sit down. Little Jimmy, little Johnny, little Susie, sit down. Honey Bunny, siéntate. And you, my servant, sit down. Uncle Tom, sit down. Uncle Jimmy, sit down.
Silas were singing. I said it was midnight when the prison doors were open, when the chains fell off, and he got saved. It was about 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning when he said, I gotta wake up my family. Someone. And he woke up his family to hear the word. I'm so glad you woke up your family this morning. Did anybody wake up their family? Dad, don't get tired of waking up your family. Mom, don't get tired of waking up your family. I know they stayed up till 1, 2, 3 in the morning. And brought his family to hear the word. This is what makes a strong marriage. This is what makes a strong family. Never stop bringing your family to church, even if they don't like it. This jailer woke up his family past midnight to hear the word. And some don't even want to wake up their family at 8 o'clock in the morning. But look at the results. It said him and his whole household. Yeah. I said his whole household were saved. He was just an ordinary guy, but he was the door for his whole family to be saved. You didn't just be an ordinary wife, an ordinary mom, an ordinary single mom, an ordinary husband. Oh, but you're the door. I said you're the door for your whole family to be saved. Uncle that's an alcoholic to be saved. Hear the door for your cousin that's gangbanging to be saved. Hear the door for your aunt that's smoking crack. Next, he was baptized at once. Him and his whole family. In other words, he made an immediate commitment to Christ. And he started to lead his family by example. Amen. Baptism is a sign of your commitment. Yeah. Baptism is a symbol of your inner commitment to God. Amen. Immediately, the Bible says that he was baptized. Yes. And when his family seen him get baptized, they say, if daddy's following Jesus, if mommy's following Jesus, then so will I. Oh, I don't care how much you think the world influences your children, parents. You're still the mom. You're still the dad. And you still got influence over your children. So don't let the devil lie to you. Don't let the devil whisper in your ear. They're not listening. They're never going to follow. You just lead by example. You just do what Jesus told you to do. And lead by example. And watch the little ducklings follow. Not little Frankie follow. Next, I gotta hurry. He became a servant. He started serving his spiritual leaders. It says he took them in and started bandaging their wounds. Why? Because he was grateful. He was grateful. Oh, we need some grateful moms. We need some grateful dads. We need some grateful parents. We need some people that are grateful for what Jesus did for them. Oh, do we have any grateful folks in the house this morning? Let me tell you something. When you lose your gratefulness, you stop serving. When you lose your gratefulness, you stop serving. Don't ever stop being grateful for what He's done for you. You want to build a strong family? Model gratefulness. You know how you model gratefulness? By being a tither. By being a giver. Because you say, God, I'm so grateful, God. I'm grateful, that's why I give. I'm grateful, that's why I serve. I'm grateful, and your kids see it. They're watching you. They're watching you every step of the way. They're watching how you walk. They're watching what you give. They're watching how you worship. They're watching if you skip going to church. They're watching if you're faithful going to church. They're watching. I said, they're watching your commitment to God. I want to model strong commitment to God. Because I want my children to be strong, committed to God. I want them to be strongly committed to God. Because let me tell you something. They're going to be strongly committed to something. Everybody's going to be strongly committed to something. They'll be strongly committed to the video game, to the world, to the games. But if I model strong commitment to God, they're going to be strongly committed to God. And if I'm strongly committed to God, I'll be strongly committed to my wife. If I'm faithful to God, I'm faithful to my wife. If I'm faithful to God, I don't want to break His heart. I don't want to sin against God. So therefore, I'll be faithful to that woman. Why? Because I'm committed to God, my friend. I am committed to the Lord. The last thing that I'll highlight is that their salvation brought them joy. That last verse, listen to what it says, the one that I read. It says, he was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole household. Amen. Their salvation brought them joy.
Amen.
Quit thinking that material things is going to bring your children joy. Quit thinking that material things is going to, matter of fact, they bring more headaches. I speak from experience. The more you have, the more you worry sometimes. Come on, somebody. The more you have, come on now. The more you gotta make. Don't get it twisted. It's not materialistic thing that brings your family joy, that brings you joy. It's not the house, it's not the car, it's not what you drive, it's not what you have in your bedroom, it's not what you have in your purse, in your wallet, in the bank account. Their salvation brought them joy. Our salvation should always bring us joy. And let me tell you something. It's free. Salvation is free. And this one night, this man inherited a strong marriage and a strong family because salvation came to his house. This made the church stronger in so many ways. In added numbers. It made the church stronger because now they had an inside man in the jailhouse. It's always good to have an inside man in the jailhouse. Hello, somebody. You'll get that one later. Made the church stronger because they have influence in high places now. It made the church stronger because now this jailer became a financial blessing. Oh, Pastor, you didn't say that. I assumed it.
Yes.
Because there's no way that this guy, after we read what this guy did, that he did not become a financial blessing. Oh, come on, somebody. You know why I give? I give because I'm grateful for what Jesus said. I should be in prison. I should be dead. I shouldn't have nothing. I shouldn't be married. I shouldn't have children. I shouldn't be a pastor. I shouldn't be preaching. I shouldn't be fulfilling my calling. I should be dead in a coffin. Therefore, I give it all to God. Not just my money, my time, my resources, my family, my children belong to God. You think it's easy for me to send my daughters to Panama? Huh? Think it's easy for me to release my man? But you know they're God's. I don't know where God's going to send Frankie and Timmy. My God, they're going to Germany. By then, they'll probably have UTC in Japan. UTC Russia, my God. But I put him in God's hands. I put him in God's hands. Because a strong marriage equals a strong family that will make the church strong. That will make the family of God strong. Family of God strong. So this morning, I just wanted to encourage you. Listen, and me and my wife, can have a good, happy marriage for 12 years. And I know many of you have been married longer than us. Longer than us. I know that to be true because you have the scars to prove it.
Well,
come on. You'll get that. The older ones know what I'm talking about. Amen. You got the scars to prove it. But I can honestly tell you, listen, in these 12 years, we're not a Barbie and Ken marriage. But we've never had a shouting match. We were arguing last night. Not bad. You know, can I put myself out there? I got an ingrown toenail right now, man. It hurts. I don't like doctors. I go to the doctor, do you? No. Come on, honey. She's got me. She looks at me and she says, "You know I love you, right?" Because she starts to soak my feet. She starts to soak my feet, you know. And then I said, "You know, we're gonna have to do this because, you know, I ain't going to no doctor." She said, "All right." So she gets down there. She's helping me, like, you know, try to take it out or something. She barely touched. Is she gonna go to touch? She gonna go to touch again? She looks at me. She's like, "You ain't even let me touch it." She says, I'm not gonna do it because you're gonna yell at me. And I looked at her and I said, "Honey, now when have I ever yelled at you?" Seriously. I said, "Honey, I've never yelled at you. Honestly, Andy, I've never yelled at you. Never in these 12 years have I yelled at my wife." But let me tell you what she said. I said, "Have I yelled at you?" She looks at me. She's like, "No." "But you raise your voice." I said, "Yeah, raising my voice and yelling are two different things." Right? She said, "Well, that's yelling to me." Of course you're going to raise your voice when you're like, "Oh!" You know? But I've never yelled at her. She's never yelled at me. Ask the people that live with us. Pastor Josh lives with us now. Have you heard us have a yelling match? We've heard you in SNN a couple times. I'm just kidding. She's quiet as good. Jenna, how long you live with us? Okay, have you ever heard us yell at each other? Jose, how long you live with us? You don't live with us now. Put him in the home. That's the women's home. Women's home. When do you hear us yelling at each other? We've never in 12 years. In 12 years. I'm not gonna ask you. It's all right. I'm just saying, man, we have a great marriage, man. Right before church, baby. We have a great marriage. We're having fun serving God. Our children are serving God. Alexis, beautiful little girl right there. Celeste, she's going to UTC Panama. I know what, you brag too much on your kids. I'm sorry, I'm a proud dad, man. I'm a proud father. If you have the microphone, you'd be doing the same. Sometimes I brag about you. It's made us a strong family. And I know we still got the future. I know Frankie and Timmy still got to go through their teenage years. But I'm positive about it. I'm positive about it because there's a vision for them. I'm positive about it because we have the GAN ministry. I'm positive about it because Frankie, he's 11, years old and already wants to go to GAN convention. Yeah. Now we're still praying, like, "No, you're our baby, man. We're gonna put you in that." But they already wanna go to the UTC. At their age, at Celeste and Alexis's age. What were you doing? Going to the club? Hanging around with the homies, the homegirls? God made our marriage strong.
so he can make our family and our children strong, so that he can make our church strong. Listen, again, I don't mean to toot my own horn, but as your pastors, we need to be strong. As your pastors, we need to be an example. I'm not saying to put us on a pedestal, no, because there are going to be some times you're going to have to pray. You need to pray for us anyways. Because there's going to be some times that we may need your extra prayers for Frankie, for Timmy. Come on, somebody. Because we all need each other as a family. But God is with this church. And his promises are real. He'll give you a good marriage. I don't care how many times you've been through the ups and the downs. He'll give you a strong marriage. He'll save your children. He'll make your family strong. He'll restore your family into your life. He'll restore your children into your life. Maybe your children are not in your life. And maybe you had a bad background and that you had a bad jacket with them. Oh, but God will restore everything that the cankerworm worm has devoured. Everything that the devil stole. God will give back.
Amen.
Stay under the word. Stay under his promises. Stand on his promises. Let's be those strong marriages. Get to married couples Bible study. Even if your marriage is good, even if it's good, still go. Because you never know when a rainy day might come. You never know when a storm might come. I'd rather stay ready than have to get ready. Stay plugged into church. Be faithful. Come to church. Get into Bible study. Come to life. Come Sundays. Come Fridays. Yes. That's what makes you strong. Come worship. Bring your family. Yes. I love to worship with my wife. I love to hold her hand. And I love to be right there in the front row lifting our hands together. I love to come pray. We pray together in the mornings. I love, you know, doing ministry alongside of her. I love sharing the word with her. Yes. Building it together. God will make us strong. I want you to stand to your feet. This morning, what I want to do, I want to make a special altar call. The Lord put this on my heart, and I want to pray for all the families. I want to pray for all the families. First of all, I want to call up all the married couples. And I'm going to call all the families. Even if you're a single mom, I'm going to call you up too, single dad. But I want all the married couples to come. If you're married, you have your spouse, or even if you're married, but your spouse ain't here, I want you to come and stand in proxy with them. But I want you to come. Bring your wives. And even if they're not here, but you come. And as a church, we want to pray. How many know we pray for each other? And then we're going to pray for the single moms and single dads. Oh, what a beautiful thing. Isn't this beautiful? Look at all these couples, man. Let me tell you some couples. You know, they say that the youth are the fire of the church. But they say the couples are the backbone of the church.
That's right.
They're the backbone of the church. Because you represent strength. Strength. Because you know, the world looks to the church for how marriage and a family should be. I know there's a lot of bad examples. You see, sometimes I just read about a big apostle, Hispanic apostle, that he had his church organization was 1 million worldwide. And a horrible accusation got brought up against him this past week. It tarnishes the name of the church. But it don't matter, because he doesn't represent us all. There's a lot of great pastors that are not doing stuff. They're staying above her. But I'm not saying he did it. He might be innocent. Innocent is proven guilty, right?
Amen.
But yet, we still got to hold up that standard as Christian couples. To love our wives. You don't know how many people in your family, at your job, your friends that used to go to high school, they see you on Facebook, they see you on Instagram and in Twitter, and they see you post, and they say, man, look at their marriage. Look, they go to church, and look, they're Christian. They're looking towards you. Look at them. They're still married.
Amen.
This is why we got to value the sanctity of marriage. We got to cherish it. We got to uphold it. And it's not easy doing it by yourself. Marriage is hard. I'll tell you. We have a good marriage, but I didn't say it was easy.
Amen.
I said we have a good marriage, but I didn't say it was easy.
Amen.
And this is why this morning I want to pray for you. I want you right there, grab your spouse's hand.
Honey, will you help me pray?
Church, stretch your hands. Father, in the name of Jesus, we lift up these couples to you, God. Lord, continue to strengthen their marriage. Lord, I pray for continual blessings upon them. You see the struggles, the daily struggles, the weekly struggles, the financial struggles, the family struggles, the children's struggles. You see the battles that they go through, Father. Lord, some of them, God, their marriage is doing great, God. Lord, they're loving, they're doing good, but there's still challenges. Some struggle, God. Some struggle to get along, Father God. Lord, some struggle. They might argue. They'll be bigger sometimes. But Lord, nevertheless, they still come to your house to be in your presence because they know that you are the answer. And so, Father, I pray, Lord, that you would just continue to bless them and anoint them, Father God. Continue to be with them, Father God, in the name of Jesus, God. I pray for every husband in this place, God. I pray, God, that you would anoint them to be the priest of their home, Father God. Lord, in Jesus' name, Father God. Lord, move in their lives, God, like never before. Father God, Lord, I pray a special anointing, God, as the priest of their house, Father God. Oh, to lead their wives, Father God. They are the priests. They are the leaders, God. Let them be the ones that lead their wife and their children to you, Father God. Sometimes it can be the wife that's the spiritually strong one, but I declare, God, that it will be the men of God, Lord, that will be the strength, God, the anointed, God, the ones that lead their family into your presence, Father God, in the name of Jesus, God. Move in every couple, God. Move in every wife, God. Move in their children. We pray that their children will be saved, Father God. Bless them in the name of the Lord. Married couples, I just want you to stay right there in God's presence, but I want you to take one step forward. Take one step forward for me and worship the Lord. And worship the Lord. Next, I want to pray for all the single moms and the single dads. If you're a single mom, you're a single dad, and you're in this place, I want you to get out of your seat and come stand behind these couples. Because let me tell you something, your work is doubly hard. You need a double anointing. A double anointing, and we're going to pray for that. We're going to pray for a double anointing for you. And I believe God will grant it for you. I tip my hat. I honor you, ladies. I honor you, men. I see Brother Alex with Iris for years. Now he's engaged. I see many of you women come, man, week in, week out. I see you struggle sometimes, but I see your faith. And that is honorable. That is honorable. And we want to pray for you. Lift your hands, close your eyes. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray for all the single parents. Lord, I pray for a double portion of anointing upon their lives, God. I pray that you would give them strength. I pray that you would bless them. I pray that you would anoint them, Father God. Lord, I pray, God, Lord, that they will know that they're not by themselves. Lord, that you are with them, that you are their shield and you are their rampart. You are Jehovah Jireh, their provider. You are their doctor, their healer. Father, and I lift them up to you, God. I pray, God, Lord, that they would trust you with all their heart and lean not unto their own understanding, but acknowledge you in all their ways, and that you would direct their paths, Father God. Strengthen every family in the church in the name of Jesus. I pray for their children to be saved and to serve you wherever they're at, whether they're here this morning or they're not here this morning. I lift them up to you, Father. Do a miracle like you did for the jailer. Do the extraordinary to reach the ordinary in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, that's it. Just worship the Lord.
Oh,
glory to God.
Amen. Come on. Just give the Lord some praise real quick. Before you leave, amen, before you head back, because we want to do something special right now. Amen. I want to call up Brother Irvin, Sister Amy, and then my wife as well. Amen. Pastor preached a powerful message on family and marriage. Amen. And they're prime examples. Amen. Prime examples. And we thank you guys for laboring in your marriage. And on behalf of the church and the leadership, amen, we know that it's your anniversary. And we just want to say happy anniversary. Amen. And the church and the leadership, we came together. And we got to, this is just a small token of our appreciation, of your guys' marriage. And we thank you guys very much. Amen. Here's your brother.
Amen, Pastor. We want to celebrate with you as your spiritual sons and your spiritual daughters. We celebrate this day with you. And Sister Sylvia, we're just thankful. We're grateful. We know that you guys set the pace for our marriages. I truly believe that we wouldn't be married today if it wasn't for your marriage, answering the call and taking a city. And we met in church. So where would we be? I just thank God for your marriage. We look at you. You are an example, Pastor. Sister Sylvia, you guys are an example to us. That's why as the church, we want to back them up. Every time that there's an opportunity to celebrate with our pastors, to give, amen, we should give, amen, because they lay down their lives, they sacrifice for us, and here today we celebrate with them, amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Church, go ahead and stretch your hands. We're going to pray for our pastors right now. If we can get Irvin and Amy, if we can put their hands on our pastors, amen. If we can do anything as a church, amen. Let's pray. Let's pray and cover them in our prayers right now. Father in heaven, we come before you right now. We thank you, God. We celebrate with our pastors, Lord, as they celebrate 12 years of faithfulness to one another, God. God, we pray, Lord, that you will continue to protect them, that you will put a wall of fire around them and their children, God. Lord, we ask that you will pour out your anointing upon their lives, Lord, God. Bless them, God, Lord, with many more years of God being faithful to one another, God. God, Lord, strengthen their marriage, God. Lord, we thank you. We ask that you will bless them and their household, oh God. Lord, we thank you. Keep them healthy, God. Keep them, God, full of energy and strength, God. Give them wisdom, God. Give them the joy of the Lord, God. In Jesus' mighty name, we all say amen. Amen. Pray, come on, give the most praise.
Thank you, Pastor Josh, Brother Irvin. Thank you, church, amen, for the gift. Amen. On behalf of me and my wife, we love you guys so much and so dearly. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. One more thing. Can you do me a big favor? Let's take a big church picture. Amen. We're going to take it in front of the banner right outside. So leaders, let's go ahead and go. And it's going to take like 3 minutes, 5 minutes. Amen. But let's do it so that we can send it to San Jose. So we can go outside right in front of the banner. The ushers are going to show you where. So don't burn off. Take a quick picture with us. Amen. And I'm gonna put it on my Facebook wall, so you can grab it from there and share it, and show your whole family, your friends. Look, this is my church family. Amen. So let's all go outside and take a big group picture.
Thank you.
Thank you. Hey, Pastor.
Yes.
You wanna wait to ask me?
goodness.
Gone. How can I go?